Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Yes, he is. And if you're the 10th caller right now at 412-922-1020, my producer this morning, the Pride of Bloomfield, Christopher Rinello, you are going to win yourself a $25 gift certificate from the good folks at Sorgles. We've got that Janoski's gift certificate to give away in about 30 minutes. Doug's got a great guest coming up, but he'd love to hear from you right now about all of your gardening needs, 866-391-1020. And yeah, Mrs. Know-It-All, too, all within the next 54 minutes or so. So let's get right to the host with the most. Here he is, digging the rainy weather because he loves digging in the garden, Doug Oster. Hey, Douglas.
Good morning. How are you?
I am spectacular, sir.
All right. Yeah. Rain, beautiful rain. We'll talk about that in a second. But our guest coming up at 7:15, Bob Mulvihill. He's an ornithologist from the National Aviary. And there's a viral disease affecting songbirds. And we've been not feeding the birds because of this disease. And so he's going to fill us in on all the details there. But, oh, man, that rain. Oh, I went into my little sanctuary and closed the door, and it was at night, even though it was really sticky, I just opened all the windows up and listened to that soft rain at night just coming down for hours. It was just wonderful. This is, for me, the start of the third part of the season. You know, we've got rain coming up off and on this week. In fact, I have rain coming right now. And now that we have a break from that hot, dry weather, there's so much that we can do. I've been, you know, again, out looking for bargains. I found some great plants. People, you know, they're, you know, perennials, they're trying to move perennials out as new perennials will come in September, and there's just lots of deals out there. Also for vegetables, yeah, I've planted spinach, lettuce, arugula, beets, Swiss chard, kale, some mustard greens, turnip greens, something called tatsoi, which is, it's from the kale family. It's just a deep green plant that loves cool weather. These are great things to start now. Get them going. And you know me, I love to harvest all the way through the season. Certainly all this stuff will go until Christmas, maybe beyond. I've got some hydrangeas that need to be moved. This is a good time to do that. I'm planting other shrubs. Again, this weather is just perfect. As a gardener, that's what we're looking at. We're looking at the weather patterns, and this is the perfect one for planting. For your yard, the grass, adding seed right now would be great. Fertilizing, aerating would be a great job to do right now. Get that lawn ready for the winter. Another thing I'm planting some perennials from seed right now to plant in about 6 weeks. And as I said, boy, I'm finding bargains every place I stop. I'm finding a bargain perennial that I can shoehorn into the garden. Things that I love that, again, they're almost giving them away. You know, I saw roses on sale, other shrubs, trees. This is just a great planting time. Right now, because of the weather and things cooling off, getting lots of rain. A little later on, Mrs. Know-It-All, she's going to talk about some diseases she's seeing in the garden, you know, hostas and all sorts of other things, well, some stuff I hadn't heard about before. And the next trip coming up is in May. I am taking people to the Chelsea Flower Show in England, and then after that, we're crossing over into Holland to see this thing called Floriade. It is only every 10 years. It is a 143-acre town created just for this garden celebration. It's going to be awesome. And I've got seats left, but, you know, even though it's all the way in May, people are excited to travel again, and it's selling pretty good. So if you're interested in seeing the Chelsea Flower Show, that is the Super Bowl of flower shows, go to DougOster.com, and we'll have a lot of fun when we go there. I just got back from Croatia. Costa Rica is sold out, but England is going to be a lot of fun. Anybody on the phone there, Rob?
Not yet, Doug. So continue to kind of dazzle us what you'd like to talk about over the next hour.
Well, you know, when Bob Mulvihill comes on here at 7:15, or a little after 7:15, we've known each other for, gosh, I think 20 years, and anytime I have a bird question, I send it to him. As an ornithologist for the National Aviary, he knows everything, and I love feeding the birds, and not feeding the birds this summer has been, it's so different. So I just want to find out everything from him about that. I did talk to an expert also about hydrangeas. I wrote a story called Why Doesn't My Hydrangea Bloom? That is the number one garden question. And a woman who wrote a book called Success with Hydrangeas, her name is Lorraine Bellotto. So I talked to her all about the different hydrangeas, and I really learned a lot. You know, there's many different types of hydrangeas. Some are reliable bloomers and some are not. And so all that information is at DougOster.com. You know how I love Joham's Daffodil Hortus. That is a daffodil collection down in Washington, Pennsylvania. You should go down and see it in the spring. Put that on your list. Put that on your calendar. It's the greatest collection of blooming daffodils I've ever seen. Well, he's selling some of his extra bulbs. I've also got that information at DougOster.com. These are bulbs that you're never going to find anywhere else. And if you're looking for something, then if you go look through, there's no pictures. You gotta get the name of the bulb, put it into this thing called DaffSeq, see what it looks like. But if you're interested in just growing something vintage and different, there's one called Twin Sisters that I love. It's late bloomer, very fragrant, and it makes bulbs like crazy, you know, over the years. It's just a wonderful, wonderful variety. But he's got all sorts of cool stuff, the old stuff, new stuff. And it's buying bulbs from him helps support what they're doing down there. And his work is pretty amazing. Just seeing all these incredible bulbs. I don't know if it's still available, but you can buy Spencer Tracy and Katharine Hepburn together teamed up. I think that's kind of cool. He introduced Katharine Hepburn, actually. Spencer Tracy was introduced in 1943, I think it was, and all his volunteers there said, hey, there's no Katharine Hepburn. And he found a sport and named it Katharine Hepburn. It planted a couple beds away from Spencer Tracy. Another thing you can do right now, start looking for some local garlic. If you want to plant garlic, we do that in October. You know me, I'm really into garlic. You can find it at a local farmer's market. I know for sure Janoski's has garlic. I got some great garlic from them last year. When you do buy it as a food source, as opposed to a seed, it's the same thing. It's just cheaper as food. And so you could just go to the market at Janoski's, buy their local garlic, and just eat some and then save some to plant in October. Some of the biggest bulbs I had this year came from Janoski's. And if you can find local garlic, you don't want to use garlic just like right out of the store unless you know where it's from, because it might be from California. It might be from China. You don't know if it's going to be hardy. And so when we get one from a local farm like Janoski's, we know that we can plant that thing and it's going to go to town. it's just, you know, growing your own garlic is just like growing anything else in the garden. It's just, it's a different animal, you know. It's just filled with different, every variety has different flavors and different amount of spice. You know, when you cut open and smash one of those fresh garlic cloves, it's just filled with garlic oil, and it's just, it's good for you, and it tastes great. It's just absolutely wonderful. How are we doing there, Rob?
We're doing great. Hey, real quick, and you know, we've got Bob coming up in just a moment, and I know you're going to talk more about this subject. Andy and I were actually talking about it yesterday. Now, a lot of Audubon Society and others saying it's safe, you know, put the feeders out, bird baths back out. So is it safe? And we're going to talk to Bob about that, or are we going to talk about, you know, finding the source so it doesn't happen again? Kind of fill us in what you're going to be talking to him about.
Figure out what's going on. You know, I want to hear from a scientific expert like Bob. I'm sure, he's been updated almost daily on what's going on with the songbirds, and so, yes, we're going to talk about should we be feeding or should we wait, you know, same with the bird baths. And then we'll probably also get into some stuff about planting for the birds to help them out. I like to talk to Bob about that sort of thing, you know, what we should be planting, you know, where we should be planting it. Also, you know, whenever you feed the birds, you also have to deal with the squirrels. And so we'll have lots of stuff to talk about after the break, all about songbirds, feeding the birds, and the disease that is bothering them. Because as I said, you know, I miss seeing my birds, but I'm trying to do the right thing for them, and we'll see what Bob has to say.
All right, we'll get to him in just a moment. Again, this is The Organic Gardener, DougOster.com, and Rob Pratt every Sunday, 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. on Odyssey, 100.1 FM, AM 1020, KDK. Back with more in a moment. Yeah, he is, and he's got a great guest, so let's get right back to Doug Oster, DougOster.com. Doug.
I'm very excited to welcome Bob Mulvihill, ornithologist from the National Aviary, to the show. Bob and I have been friends, as I said, for a very long time, and he is my go-to expert whenever I have a bird question. Good morning, Bob. How are you?
Good morning, Doug. I'm fine. And you?
I'm doing great. So tell me what's going on with my precious songbirds.
Your precious songbirds are just fine. They have been fine all through this difficult period for all of us who have missed having them at our window, so to speak. They have had lots and lots of natural foods to forage on. We may not think so, but they've always mixed that into their diet, even when we give them lots and lots of added bird seed. So they've been fine, and this disease seems to have played out. So the birds that got sick and died earlier in the summer, that scenario has not continued. And the Pennsylvania Game Commission, the National Audubon Society, and others have made it clear that it is all right to go ahead and start putting your bird feeders out and fill your bird baths now. There's no worry about communication of a disease among your birds. So that's the good news, and it's just in time for the beginning of bird migration. So it's a nice time to start thinking about bird feeding again.
Well, what was it like for you? Because for me, it was very, very strange not to have the feeders filled up.
You know, Doug, I actually stopped feeding at the very first inkling of this issue. So before there were any official pronouncements, when I saw what was coming in terms of the information, I just proactively took all my feeders in. So so I probably had them taken in for maybe up to a couple of weeks ahead of any official pronouncement to do that. It was fine. I was kind of surprised that once the decision was made, and I knew that this was a bountiful time for a year for the birds, that no one was going to suffer as a result of my feeders not being available. It was really okay. I mean, I would have been, I think any of your listeners would have been, you know, heartsick to have found that, you know, by bringing birds into their feeders, there might be an outbreak of some mystery disease,
We
saw many places. So, you know, no, I didn't find it too difficult, to be honest.
So I'm sure the birds, people,
by the way, for those who are worried, I think there's no doubt the birds will find their way back to feeders in very short order.
So when you're thinking about, from a gardening standpoint, what the birds need, what are some things, we're getting to primetime planting season now, what are some things we should think about growing that will help the birds?
You know, I think you should be thinking about especially, things that are woody plants. That, like you say, this is the prime time for planting, bald trees and shrubs. I think that, you should be thinking about the things that are native species that have some kind of a seed or fruit, which will grow up to be sort of the target for a lot of herbivorous insects, so leaf-eating caterpillars and things. And just fill your yard with as many of those as you can. Every fall, plant a service berry, amelanchier, any of those species, whether the ones that grow into a full tree-size plant or those that are shrubbier, they'll all produce a wonderful fruit in early June that birds absolutely adore. We know from the work of our friend Doug Tallamy that if you plant oak trees, if you're going to plant a shade tree or replace a shade tree in your yard, any species of our native oaks will harbor a great many insects that feed on the leaves of oak trees, which in turn will provide abundant forage for the scarlet tanagers and the warblers and the thrushes that are moving through your yard in the springtime. So I would think about those kinds of things, especially fruiting plants, fruiting shrubs, and trees like oaks that are going to ultimately be extremely beneficial.
Well, I'm very excited to be able to fill up my feeders again, Bob.
Yeah,
I miss seeing the birds. Go ahead.
How much money you saved, Doug?
That's
think
true.
How much money you saved.
You know, I felt I was doing the right thing, like you. I would have been heartsick if feeding those birds would have caused them more stress. But I'm happy to be able to see them again. And then, people should visit the aviary, Bob, because it is one cool place.
Oh, it's the coolest place, really. It is, and it's getting cooler all the time. And so yes, please do visit the aviary. It's a fantastic way to have birds all around you. So if you need a bird fix, you've been missing having birds around you, just step into the National Aviary, and you'll have birds from all around the world. All around you. It's a pretty
great. All right,
great
Bob.
Experience.
Thank you so much for being part of the show today and for setting us straight on our songbirds. And everybody out there, go visit the National Aviary. It is a wonderful place.
Yes, birds of a feather do stick together. Ladies and gentlemen, good stuff from Doug and Bob. We'll take a break. We'll come back on the other side. Rob Taylor's got the news bottom of the hour, and we'll give you an opportunity to win a gift certificate from the good folks. Familia of mine, the Janoski family, then, of course, Mrs. Know-It-All still to come. But here's the key. This is the opportunity for you to call in whatever the question may be, because we want to hear from you. We are wide open on the phone lines, 866-391-1020, 866-391-1020. Heinz ketchup recipes, all 57 varieties, all ingredients into something delicious, from a cake to a steak. We'll talk about it all today, coming up on the Coons Cooking Hour, which starts right after the news today. But we've still got some digging in the garden to go with Doug. Stay with us on Rob Pratt Sunday. It is the Organic Gardener, Odyssey, 100.1 FM, AM 1020, KDKA. Good morning. All right, before we get back to Doug and your phone calls, I also want to remind you, you can reach us at Dollar Bank Instant Access, kdkradio.com. Take the 10th caller right now to win that $25 gift certificate to Janoski's, where canning season is underway. That number, ladies and gentlemen, is 412-922-1020. Okay, Doug, ready to go to work? Let's get to Joyce in Ross Township for Doug. Good morning, Joyce. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine. How are you two?
Real good. What's your question?
Doug, is North Park going to be having the garden in the park this year?
You know, I don't really know, to tell you the truth. Usually, I doubt it, because usually they contact me and say, hey, can you stop by?
Well, so, you know, usually would have been this past yesterday. I called the parks, and they said they didn't have it on the calendar, and I didn't hear anything. I thought you usually know that.
Yeah, I didn't hear anything, so...
Okay, I didn't know who else there was to contact about that.
If anybody else knows, give us a call, 866-391-1020, let us know, but I don't think so. I think because of COVID and everything that's been going on, that we'll have to wait until next year. But if anybody knows different, give us a call.
All right, let's go to Mary's up next for Doug. Hi, Mary.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I have an unusual situation. Last year, I spent about 4 weeks digging up yucca plants on the perimeter of my driveway. And when it was done, we had asphalt laid, including over the area that used to house the yucca plants. The yucca plants are so ferocious, they are creating little volcanoes and coming up through 3 or 4 spots in the asphalt. We keep cutting them down, but they keep inching their way back up. What can I do to get rid of these so that they don't destroy the asphalt?
Well, probably the best thing is as soon as you see any new growth is just to cut it down with a string trimmer and continue to do that until you kill them. There are some organic herbicides. One's called Burnout. One's called Nature's Avenger. There's one from called Natria that would be effective in at least slowing them down. I know, you know, once you have a yucca plant, it is very difficult to get rid of. I suggest weekly, whenever you see any new growth, cutting that right down to the ground with a string trimmer and then spraying some organic herbicide on there, and you should win the battle there by the end of the summer.
Okay. I already own Natria, and I use it a lot on sidewalk cracks and stuff, so I will give that a try.
Good luck. That's going to be a challenge. It always is with the yuccas.
Okay, let's get to John. Hey, John, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
What's your question?
Well, I've got a plant in my yard. They tell me it's chicory. It's a purple, bluish-purple flowering plant, and in the past couple of years, it wants to take over my yard. I'd like to know what I could use to get rid of it.
You know, first, I want to see exactly what it is. If you could send me a picture at DougOster.com. But in general, for stuff like that, it is using the same technique we're using for the yuccas. If this is a plant that is a perennial weed, because chicory can be lots of different things. That's the thing. People call lots of different things. They call it chicory. So we need to figure out what it is.
Oh.
But in general, perennial weeds that come back time and time again, the best way to deal with them is to continually top cut. You know, there are, as we just talked about, there are some organic herbicides that some use fatty acids, and some use iron to overdose it. If it's a broadleaf weed, like it looks like a dandelion weed,
yes,
overdosing it on iron really works well. That's a great safe way to deal with a weed like that. But again,
maybe something I could put in a spreader, pull behind tractor spreader, and spray the whole yard with that?
No, the stuff that I'm talking about, stuff that I'm talking about is liquid, so it's spot treating. So if we're talking about acres, that's not going to work.
No, I live in the middle of 2 acres. I would want to do at least the front yard, but I thought there might be something that I could put in a spreader that I could pull behind the tractor. By doing it individually with a 2-gallon sprayer, I don't think I could do all that for a period of days anyway.
And send me a picture at DougOster.com, and we can get a much better idea of what to do if I see a picture of the actual plant, okay?
All right, good call. Let's get to Gloria. Hey, Gloria, good morning.
Hello, Doug and Rob. My question is pertaining to a hydrangea plant. And I called earlier in the year to talk to Doug about it. It's 60 years old, but this year it bloomed the most beautiful that it ever has. Now, my concern is I often hear Jessica used to say, and Doug too, about the old wood. When you prune it, something about the old wood. Could you explain that to me? Because when the fall comes, I have the flowers will be dried, and I don't know whether I should clip them all off, and maybe that's concern that that's called the old wood. I don't understand that too well. Could you just explain it to me?
So there are many different types of hydrangeas, but some of them bloom on the what we call the old wood, which is the wood that's there now. They're putting on buds. As soon as they finish blooming, they'll start to put on buds, and those buds will sit there all winter long. And so if we were to cut those off, we would not have the flowers.
Excuse
it would be
me,
a really great
that...
idea if you could figure out which type of hydrangea it is. My guess is it's the most famous one that people really love to grow. It's called macrophylla or mophead, with round flowers that are pink or blue.
Yes, I had, there were blue flowers on it this year, along with pink ones and white. I never saw that before.
Okay.
What I wanted to ask you, though, is when you're talking about the buds, now those flowers will dry up. When the fall gets here, is that what I cut them off? Would that be considered the old wood?
Technically, yes, but if you're just going after the dried flowers, just do it carefully. Just clip them off if you don't want them on there anymore. If you look closely at the stem, you'll see the buds. They're little, but you'll see the buds. And so,
okay,
you could even just pull the dried flowers off if you didn't want them, if you were worried that you might be taking off some of the buds. The other thing that happens with those buds, though, even if you don't cut them, they're still there. A lot of times they'll freeze out during the winter. We get these periods where it gets really warm in February, March, and they start to swell, and then it gets really cold and they freeze out. And that's what's happening to a lot of people.
Uh-huh.
Do yourself a favor. Go to my website, DougOster.com. I've got a whole article in there all about hydrangeas and this old wood stuff and new wood and different varieties. But as long as you don't cut those buds off, that's going to be a great thing. The other thing that I'm doing is I'm kind of protecting those buds by giving them, by putting some tomato stakes around the plant and then
burlap
it,
or something to protect it from the frost.
Burlap, but it wouldn't have to be burlap. It could be by an evergreen. But as long as as long as you don't cut those buds off, you'll be fine. With those dried flowers, just gently pull them off, and you'll be fine. You won't be negatively affecting the plant in any way.
All right, then. I'm glad I called you to find that out.
Because and I'm glad you
reason,
got your bloom.
The reason it probably didn't bloom before was I may have been cutting off the wrong parts.
Yeah, that happens very often. Well, good
luck. So I decided after that I would just leave it alone. And this year it's just royal. It's great.
That's great news. You're lucky to get those beautiful blooms.
All right, we'll take a short break. Mrs. Know-It-All on the other side of the break with Doug Oster. Good morning. And guess who's with him, Doug?
It's horticulturalist Denise Schreiber. She's Mrs. Know-It-All. And Denise, before we get into the diseases, I hope the latest rain events left you okay in your garden because you've had a tough run this summer.
No, I actually had a piece of a tree come down and take out part of my magnolia. So actually, Davy Tree was here, and we're going to do some serious pruning this fall. Yeah, I'm tired. I'm done. I'm ready for snow, and I hate to say that.
I know. Tough year for you, that's for sure.
Yeah. So the lady who called in about Garden in the Park, no, they are not having that event this year because everybody has been working remotely at Penn State. So they haven't been able to get together and plan anything like that. So Penn State now, Extension is actually the ones that run that, not the county.
Right. Real quick before you get to your talking about the diseases, go see those gardens, one in South Park and one in North Park, right?
Oh, absolutely. The one in South Park is at the intersection of Maple Springs and Corrigan Drive and McConkie Road. On one side is Maple Springs, on the other side is McConkie. There's light, there's plenty of parking there, it's easy to walk, and there's always lots of things to do there next year.
And so what are you seeing in the garden?
Well, we're seeing a couple of things. One is rust, which is a turf disease, and obviously our weather has a lot of impact on it this year. You do want to keep your lawn healthy. That is one thing that, you know, even if you don't have a lot, you can get it. And to know if you actually have rust, you might be walking through your lawn and you'll either have maybe white shoes on, tennis shoes, or, you know, socks or something light colored, and you'll notice that you'll have like an orangish tinge to everything. And that's when you have rust. So it'll go away. You know, keep your lawn cut at the right height, not too short, not too long, and it will go away. You know, it's just one of those things that happens in weather like this. The other disease
with the rust, Denise. A lot of times I hear people say throw nitrogen on there to try and outgrow the rust, but that just makes more soft growth, and if we get, you know, we're going to get another wet week coming
it
up.
It doesn't matter. It
right.
doesn't matter whether the growth is hardened off or it's soft. That it doesn't care about the growth. It just affects the leaves of the grass itself. So, nitrogen would help. You know, if you have a large property, you know, you may want to just think about using a liquid nitrogen fertilizer of some kind. You know, you can also use a granular one. But it is going to go away, and just about everybody has it. You just may not recognize it. You can spread it on your shoes or your lawnmower, though, so just be aware of that.
And what else are you seeing?
Hosta virus X. So it only affects hostas. So I don't want people getting crazy about it. And what you'll notice is it might look like it's starting to the leaves will variegate or get streaks in it, but actually that's the disease. There is no cure. There is no treatment for it. Once you have it, you have to dig up the plant, get the roots out as much as possible. Do not compost it. Put it in a garbage bag and put it out for pickup. It gets streaky looking and almost watery looking, I guess is a good way. And while it affects all hostas, you'll see it a lot on Summon Substance. You'll see it on Patriot. You'll see it on Gold Standard. So if you're growing those, go ahead. Now, I will tell you, and I'm not going to make you real happy, is plant swaps are one of the ways to spread this, because somebody may have an asymptomatic plant and give it to somebody else, and then it may break out into the symptoms itself. Disinfect your tools. I actually posted a link to a site that will tell you how to disinfect them, but at least 1 minute you soak your tools in it. And you're not using bleach on it, actually. You're using different chemicals that you can use. You can also use rubbing alcohol, but you got to soak your tools rather than just wiping them off. It's nasty.
How long has this one been around? I haven't heard of this one.
Well, actually, it's been around, but as people are spreading it with their tools, or it's coming in infected from a nursery. And a lot of the nurseries do not know that they have infected plants because they're getting them just as they're coming up out of the pot, whereas the disease, once the plant's almost full grown, you know, like say by the end of June, it's completely leased out, that's when you start seeing the disease. So you can't blame the nursery, but if you got the plant from a nursery, you should notify them.
All right, Mrs. Know-It-All. Everybody, keep your eyes on your hostas. That's not good news for me since I grow lots and lots and lots of hostas. I will be answering questions after the show. If we didn't get to your question today, if you just go to DougOster.com, click on the contact button, I'll answer your garden question there. How are we doing on time, Rob?
It is time to exit stage left, Mr. Oster.
Remember, organic gardeners, you make our world brighter and safer with each seed you sow and every garden you grow.
All right, great stuff, Doug. Stay with us. Ketchup Recipes, Coon's Cooking Hour after the news with Rob at 8.
A new year is a clean slate, and this year, learning a language is the resolution that actually sticks. With Rosetta Stone, it's never been easier to start fresh. Whether you're leveling up your career or prepping for a 2026 trip, our bite-sized lessons fit perfectly into your busy day. Learn while you grab coffee or during your lunch break. It's that simple. You'll see progress fast, helping you feel more confident and connected. And because Rosetta Stone uses an immersive, intuitive method, you'll learn naturally, without memorizing boring word lists. For over 30 years, we've been the trusted leader in language learning with 25 languages to choose from, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. Rosetta Stone is the go-to tool for real language growth. Don't wait. Unlock your language learning potential now. Listeners can grab Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for life. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10 to get started and claim your 50% off today. Go to rosettastone.com/rs10 and start learning today.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.